You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm picking up the pieces of my brain off the floor and trying to put it back into my skull. Kevin Durant, according to just about every newsbreaker, has requested a trade out of Brooklyn 3 years to the day that he got out of Golden State. So, Amin, Dan is with us. Do we have anyone else joining, Dan?
Mike Ryan is trying in an emergency. He's got like a police escort. He can't get to a microphone fast enough. What they end up playing, Kyrie and Durant, 44 games together? The entire 3 years? 43 games? I'm not even joking. Wasn't it some ridiculously small number?
Yes.
Oh, my God. Isn't this wonderful? You couldn't script it any better. Right, you could not sit there with the best writers in Hollywood and say, hey, we want this thing with a super team, and they get together, and within 3 years, the whole thing is done kaput. What do you think about this, boss? I'm thinking one of your guys is just crazy. And then the other guy gets sick of the shenanigans and says, you know what, trade me, even though I have 4 years left on my deal. We'd all be like, that doesn't make sense. That never happens. Get a grip, Hollywood guy. Maybe watch some sports for a change. No, this is remarkable. And the fact that he would do it and he would name two destinations. And that's it. That's the list, as they love to say on Twitter. Oh, my God. Two destinations, by the way, may not have anything to offer.
Fix your microphone a little bit.
He's fired up. He's blowing everyone's earbuds right now. You're good. You're good.
I'm sorry. How about that?
But You came in chewing your dinner. Like you did.
This is my dinner, man. I don't get fed around here. Oh, wait.
Wait, you're late because of a kid-sized Three Musketeers?
Yes. Yes. And a peanut butter cup. Peanut butter cup, which is not too far off from a cupcake.
That's kind of equal to what the Nets got in exchange for getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving at the end of the day.
We have all show to talk about the Nets and their problems. We had a very special guest.
You weren't here. You got here late. It's just a visual joke. Just stop. Okay. Just all stop. Right. Just don't talk anymore.
Put that in the notes. You know, I don't know.
You just got here. You were chewing on something when you got here.
My dinner, a Three Musketeers.
It's 5 o'clock.
It's a visual joke. He's here. My father's here to quietly eat popcorn. He's muted. It took us a half hour to get it all right on the Zoom with my mother's help. It was uproarious. And you blow the joke in 3 seconds.
Again, maybe the private chat would be better utilized for these sorts of inside.
Where's Kevin O'Connor? Where's Kevin?
Bobby, just eat the popcorn slowly. You can start whenever you want, Dad, to eat the popcorn slowly.
Oh, my God. Okay, so KD, all right, KD has made a wish list of two teams, and I'm sitting here being like, who cares? What are the Nets owe Kevin Durant? Like, he just signed a 4-year maximum extension and just picked up and left. Why does Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, want to honor KD's trade list? And I'm sitting here being like, if you get a great deal from Sacramento, send him to Sacramento. If you get a great deal from Minnesota, send him to Minnesota. Like, why does Joe Tsai have to bend over backwards for KD? Because every owner in the league is terrified right now. One, if the Warriors get Kevin Durant, or if Miami gets Kevin Durant, that's a whole other situation.
Or but Phoenix gets Kevin Durant.
Phoenix gets Kevin Durant. We'll talk about that.
What about to Tom's point? What about what Tom is saying there? Because we haven't seen it where a guy requests a trade in the, you know, in this time of players have the power and doesn't go exactly where he wants to. Like that, what Tom is saying doesn't happen.
Yeah, and it doesn't. And there's a reason. Tom is asking, why do we care? Or why does Joe Tsai care? He cares because stars control this thing. We just saw Ben Simmons, who's a fraction of the player that Kevin Durant is, pull the same trick. 4 years left on my deal. These are the places I want to go. Make it happen. He ended up going exactly where he wanted to go. And the reality is, when you have a star player, the leverage they hold is they say, all right, send me to Sacramento. Guess what? I ain't going to report. Yep. And I'll tell them that. And so Sacramento's like, wait a second. Why am I going to give up all these assets for a guy who's not going to report? Oh, but he has 4 years left on his deal. Well, yeah, and look what's happened right here in Brooklyn. He's got 4 years left in his deal, and he wants out, and he's going to get out. So what's to say that's not going to happen to me at Sacramento, except I'm not going to make the same mistake you made, Brooklyn, in giving up all the picks I gave up to acquire James Harden in order to appease Kevin Durant and then now left high and dry. So the reality is that's the leverage he has. The leverage he has is saying, well, I'm only going there or there. So you better make a deal with them, because anywhere else, I'll let them know I'm not coming. And that artificially suppresses the market.
Let's get your guys' expertise. Phoenix has more to offer, right? Bam can't go in the trade. Bam, according to rule, I mean, it'd have to involve another team if it was going to involve Bam, correct?
Sure.
Dan, listen to this.
By the way, it's Idris, by the way. It's not, I don't know this other name. Idris said.
But I don't know if you're in any position to correct Dan after he blew up the whole Poppy thing. So, Dan, yes, if DeAndre Ayton wants to go to Brooklyn, but here's the scenario in which everything going to Phoenix is scuttled. One team with cap space decides to sign him to an offer sheet because he's a restricted free agent. And Amin, tell Dan and the people out there what that would do if Sam Presti just wants to light the world on fire. Kevin Durant wants to go into Phoenix, and Sam Presti says, you know what, we're going to sign DeAndre Ayton to an offer sheet. What does that do for that deal?
It wouldn't be Sam Presti because the Thunder actually don't have cap space. Not enough to do that. But
until a certain amount of time, yes.
Sure, but a more relevant person would be Sam Presti's ex-captain, Troy Weaver, who's now the general manager in Detroit, who we know Detroit has that interest in Ayton. They definitely have a need at center. So you say to yourself, well, Detroit doesn't have cap space. I mean, I'm looking at it right now. They're $10 million over the cap. Yes, but that's because Marvin Bagley has a $28 million cap hold. If you remove said cap hold, all of a sudden.
That's an amazing sentence. It's an amazing sentence.
Thank you. I'm a pro.
No, but just Marvin Bagley has a $28 million cap hold.
That doesn't mean Marvin Bagley's got $28 million coming towards him. It just means for accounting purposes, the league says, we're going to pencil him in at 28 until you sign him to a different deal. We know that Kemba Walker just had his buyout. We don't know how much he gave up on that, or at least I hadn't seen yet. So depending on what the Kemba Walker buyout figure is, you can conceivably clear enough cap space to go completely under the cap to sign DeAndre Ayton to an offer sheet. Now, what happens when you sign a player to an offer sheet, a restricted free agent, that offer sheet goes to his team, and they have two options. One, we'll match that, and then he stays. Two, we can't match that, and then he's gone. You can't do sign-in trades. You can't send them somewhere else. It's a wrap.
Game over. What are the possibilities of that? Because I want to talk about who can get the most, right? Because I do. Phoenix has got more to offer than Miami.
Well, that's the thing.
Miami camp does it. Does it, Dan?
Dan,
go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. So does,
if they Aiton's don't have the DeAndre board, Aiton in the deal, they don't have the best offer.
Right. Pretty much. Like,
okay, but you guys are saying that has to be a sabotage move that we haven't seen before. Somebody's got, first of all, Aiton's got to be able to sign this deal. He's got to agree to all of this. It's not just somebody makes a magical offer. There are other teams that can do this, that can participate in this. You think Aiton is incentivized or less likely to get this in another place and is incentivized to blow it up?
So it's, well, yes, Dan. Okay, there's a lot going on. Let's slow down, take a deep breath, right? Number one, it's not just random team. I'm not just randomly throwing out Detroit and Indiana as teams with cap space. They could do it. I'm telling you, these are two teams that have interest in him, existing interest in him, and they have no incentive to deal with Phoenix in this regard. They don't have to do anything. Go out and sign him right now. Second of all, when has this happened? We saw it with Houston and New York with Jeremy Lin. The infamous offer sheet that the Knicks figured out the loophole was, if I never get served, you can never say you gave, the clock doesn't start until I get served. So they literally spent the week rejecting emails and phone calls from Houston, and they had to hunt them down at Summer League, and they were avoiding them like cat and mouse. So we've seen this before. But most importantly, Dan is like, why would he sabotage this? Tom, what's the relationship between the Phoenix Suns and DeAndre Aiton? Would you say it's a cordial one and it's just, oh, we're just a couple million off?
No, and this is the League of Petty. This is the League of Petty. Yeah.
This is this is why you don't let your owner walk up to a player and say, I don't think you're a max player. Even if it's true, you don't say that because down the line, you get hurt. You get burnt on that. And this is what could happen. I'm not saying it's happened now, but it could happen because DeAndre Aiton has no incentive to help Phoenix after he was insulted by the owner, after he was benched in game 7 due to, quote, Monty Williams' words, an internal issue. He has no incentive to be like, it's a good place. Let me help him out. He has every incentive to get the first opportunity he has to get the full max, sign on the dotted line, screw you guys.
When you guys say it's league petty, then I was a little bit surprised to see Phoenix as one of his two destinations until I thought to myself, oh, wait, if he wants to go and play against Golden State, if he wants to be that close on a team that was already overwhelming last year and then just fell apart in the playoffs, why and how did Phoenix get on that list?
He has a really close relationship with Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Like, the fact that they are in the running suggests that he is close and has talked with some of those players. And that's not tampering. Like, you can talk to other players on other teams and say, hey, I'm not happy here in Brooklyn. Can we make this happen? Let's make it happen. He put Phoenix and Miami as his preferred destinations among those teams he wants to go to. And Phoenix, it's fascinating. Phoenix could be his destination to take down Golden State. But what if Golden State says, no, Phoenix, we're going to put in Andrew Wiggins, Kuminga, and James Wiseman, and all the picks you want. And Brooklyn, say no to that. And that's the trump card. What the Golden State Warriors can offer, Dan, is better than what Phoenix can offer.
Well, what are the offers that are going to be out there? Because we haven't seen a lot of this. I know Kobe Bryant in Los Angeles made a mess on the radio about making a lot of noise. But where it actually happens that a star of this magnitude is demanding a trade, even in a league of histrionics and pettiness and empowerment, it's really rare that this guy become available in any form via trade because he's unhappy. So I would imagine, even though he's 33, even though he's had an injury that is substantive, I would imagine that you guys would expect giant hauls, that people will be rushing to the front of the line because never mind that how great this guy is historically, this is a franchise changer, and you have about a dozen of those in the league. You have about a dozen guys that we could talk about all the other guys, but you got about a dozen that the moment you put them in your huddle, you are relevant, even if you're Sacramento and you haven't made the playoffs in 16 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely you say a dozen. I think that number is a little inflated. It might be less than that, but yeah, he is worth it. And, you know, Tom, I know Tom wants to bring up the age, the mileage, the injury history as concerns.
But the reality is, he's so good, he almost, like, he's been healthy enough where you're like, I'm going to risk it. I'll give it a try. And that should, in theory, create a very robust market. The problem is, if we're to believe the reporting, he's given you two names. And so I talked to Tom a little bit on the phone earlier. I said, the Miami Heat, for instance, don't have to have the greatest haul in the history of trades. They just got to be better than the other guy. And likewise for Phoenix, they don't have to have this incredible haul. It just has to be better than what Miami's offering, because Durant is artificially limiting the market. Now, he might have other teams that are added to that list as this thing continues. But at the moment, if you're Phoenix or if you're Miami, you have to feel good that despite a relative dearth of assets, hey, what are they going to do? They're going to just try and trade them to Vancouver or to the San Diego Conquistadors? No, they can't. They can't.
So when I look at the list of teams, Philadelphia is going to say Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, and our picks. Okay. Then you have the Golden State Warriors. Andrew Wiggins, all-star this year. He's eligible for an extension. You also have Kuminga, Wiseman, and all the picks. If you're Miami, you have Hero, Duncan Robinson, and cap filler to make that happen. If you're Phoenix, maybe DeAndre Ayton, but then you get Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson. You're looking at these deals and being like, for Kevin Durant, though? Like, for Kevin Durant, those are the deals? And I'm sitting here and saying, what if Memphis puts in Jaren Jackson Jr. and says, say no to Ja Morant, Kevin Durant. Say no to Jaren Jackson Jr., go into Brooklyn, say no to Ja Morant and Jaren and Steven Adams and the rest of that crew. We're going to go take down the Golden State Warriors. What happens if that happens? Like Memphis is going to try to get in there. Minnesota is going to try to get in there. I just think that when you're Miami, you got to feel good about the names that I'm saying, because there isn't that young superstar. Like, Devin Booker is not going to be in that deal.
Right. And that's the point, right? The point is, you're not dealing with having to reconcile an offer for someone who's a Brandon Ingram type player, right? This up and coming, just surefire. Wow, this guy is great. You're just, again, you're just fighting against the other guys who are pretty much in the same boat in terms of not having a whole hell of a lot, you know, to show for. I'm pulling up Phoenix's draft pick inventory right now. And Phoenix, because of the Chris Paul deal, they're not exactly flush with picks. They owe, they just satisfied their last one. So all they have are their picks moving forward. So that's nice, but, you know, it's their picks and they're a pretty good team. Miami, on the other hand, does owe a pick due to the Myers-Leonard situation. That's a 2025 top 14 protected pick.
And the only way that they can send a trade out or a third pick out is if they, if OKC removes those, if they remove the trip protections off that OKC pick, and OKC pick turns into unprotected. So the Miami Heat, man, that'd be tough. But you get Kevin Durant.
But I'm just saying, yeah, like if we're talking about, hey, who's got the young players? I would say it's pretty comparable between the two teams, because Ayton is a question mark, and because Bam is only through a third party, right? If you're talking about what's the next thing? Well, picks. Give me picks. Well, Phoenix has all their picks, but they don't have any extra picks. Miami has almost all their picks, except for this one pick that has a little bit more red tape around it, but it's not undoable, right? Well, what else can you do? Can you take my bad deals? That's the last stop on that train. It's like, well, who has the wherewithal to take advantage of that, to take that? Well, which owner have we seen hem and haw? Which owner have we seen say, you know what, why do we have a scouting department anyway? What's up with this draft thing? Right? There's nothing like
Phoenix.
Which owner was the only one to say, you know what, G League franchise? Quite the opposite. We don't want one. Everyone else either got one or getting into one. They're like, on second thought. So if you're telling me who's willing to take dead money and just happily shovel it in their mouth as they take Kevin Durant, I'm telling you, the guy that owns Carnival Cruise Lines has a more likely palate for that than the other guy.
Myers-Leonard being that controversy, being the possibility that could nuke the Kevin Durant deal.
Crazy.
It's fairly amazing. I wanted to ask you guys about something it is that you said there, because I don't know as I look at this, you guys made fun of me when I come in and I say, well, doesn't Phoenix have more to offer? And if DeAndre Ayton does the Sinisters thing, maybe they don't. But when we did this last, when we got together and did this last, I asked you, when the Miami Heat were thinking about adding Goran Dragic, whether if they added Dragic, they would be the deepest team in the league. And your answer to me was no, Phoenix is the deepest team in the league. Period. Phoenix is the team that's got the best young talent, young pieces. Mm-hmm. What's changed between now and then, other than the sinister plot you guys are suggesting of DeAndre Ayton and the Detroit Pistons screwing everything up?
Well, I mean, I think it's not a sinister plot at the very basic level. It's they ruined their relationship with one of their main players. That's the way it should be framed. In terms of what happened with Miami, guys who at the trade deadline were talents, like, oh, they're playing well. Now we've seen them perform for an entire season. More importantly, now we've seen them perform in the playoffs. So at the trade deadline, Dan, when you asked that, I wouldn't have, like, gone to bat for Gabe Vincent like that. I wouldn't have gone to bat for Caleb Martin like that. I wouldn't have gone to bat for Max Strus like that. But here we are. Now those three guys have shown, at least for the time being, on the salaries that they're at, oh, we're here, we're reliable, even in big moments. You can count on us. So that changes things. But at the end of the day, in terms of this possible trade, whether it's Phoenix or Miami, I'm not saying one has a vastly better path than the other. I'm just saying it's a lot closer than one might expect. On the one hand, you have a player in Idris Adebayo who isn't readily available directly to the team receiving him. So that means it takes some extra work. On the other hand, you have a player in DeAndre Ayton who is not cool with his team, his current team, and wants to go somewhere else. Now, is it to Brooklyn? Is it to maybe one of these other teams is the third party again? Maybe it's a three-team deal again where Ayton goes somewhere and somewhere sends some stuff to Brooklyn and Brooklyn sends Durant to Phoenix. Either way, neither of these teams have the ideal straightforward path that Tom described with Golden State, for instance, where it's like, we'll give you Kuminga, we'll give you Jordan Poole, we'll give you Andrew Wiggins and picks.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you guys see that as a possibility? Like, do you see a return there in any way possible? Like, that seems, you just traded away Wiggins. It'd be funny. It'd be amazing as a story. But, like, they didn't need him before. They sure as hell don't need him now.
Man, have you heard Draymond Green the last, like, since winning the title, all he's been talking about is how good KD is. He's been gassing him up, like, buttering him up.
We wouldn't have beaten Cleveland without him, which is absolute falsehood. Not a single soul in that organization believes that, right?
So if you're keeping your third eye open here, Draymond Green might have known that KD was going to become available and ask out of Brooklyn, and he wants KD on their
team. Hold on, Tom. Wait, Draymond would know that KD was available before everybody else knew? When has that ever happened?
The thing that I think gets missed here, because I that was somebody who would know, I had drinks with him 4 or 5 days ago, and the conversation was about Durant and the Miami Heat obviously being interested in Durant, but at the time sort of waiting to see what was going to happen with Kyrie Irving and all of that insanity. And one of the things that they will not do is, having learned the lesson from 2010, they're not going to just let everything go and have it be Durant and another guy. And then next thing you know, it's Eric Dampier or Joel Anthony, or like they're not going to totally strip it down. And if you guys are telling me it's not going to take a monster offer, if you guys are telling me all they have to do is be a little bit better than Phoenix, what's that offer look like?
For Miami, it's going to be Tyler Hero. It's going to be Duncan Robinson, 3 of their picks, future first rounders. And you have to just basically say, is that going to be enough? Like, the Heat don't have much else in terms of young assets that you could look and say, that's a future all-star. That's Jordan Poole. That's Andrew Wiggins. Like, Hero's have that caliber of player.
Hero's the only one.
Hero's the only one.
That bill. Yeah.
And so you look at these offers, Jaren Jackson in Memphis, Tyrese Maxey. I'm not saying these are on the table. I'm saying these are what other teams, if they want to win a championship, here's the young player that they're going to put on the table for Kevin freaking Durant.
Well, Jaren Jackson. I'm a push back on you. Jaren Jackson, yes, he's better. To me, Tyrese Maxey's in the same boat as the Heroes, as the Pools, as the Mikal Bridges. Like, good players. Maybe one day they'll be an all-star, but at the time being, like, it's definitely not in a Kevin Durant deal, not blowing me. This isn't Brandon Ingram, right? This isn't, they're not Brandon Ingram. We're like, yeah, that dude's good. I'll take him back in an Anthony Davis deal. So to me, for Miami, Tyler Hero obviously is the center of this. Every single draft pick you can, you're allowed legally to give up, that's going to be in there as well. Then the interesting part becomes, will it be Kyle Lowry for the cap filler nature? Or will it be Idris Adebayo going somewhere else, right? That gets you the haul that you end up sending to Brooklyn. Those are the options that Miami is working with. Dan, what's different between 2010 and now is, I think Miami is a lot more comfortable in a way that it wasn't in 2010 of saying our ability to find players who aren't blue chippers or big name guys and coach them up. They trust it a lot more now. Back then, what they did is, you're right, Eric Dampier, Mike Bibby, Eddie House. It's all these old guys, right? All guys that remember them when we played against them. It's that thing. I think they've learned from that lesson. They're like, okay, there's still people to be found here and there, but the reality is we are better served finding young players who can fit around this and coaching them up. And I think that's the major difference.
Dan, I want to ask you, because the other nuclear option is this. If Ben Simmons and Bam Adebayo can't be on the Brooklyn Nets roster because of the designated rookie extension rule, which says you can't have more than one player acquired via trade.
You can staple Simmons to Durant, right? If you want out from under that already, because you've tired of all the weirdos. You've tired of Harden quickly. You've tired of your Kyrie. And you're like, you know what? We're going to start totally over. Ben, you can leave too.
Yeah, what if they say, okay, we'll send you Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant, but Bam Adebayo's got to be in the deal.
And this is the question I want to pose to you guys. Yes, let's talk about this for a second, because you guys raised a couple of interesting scenarios. Pat Riley is 77 years old. It's about win now, win right now. You know, he's not going to leave anytime soon. He's in the job, but he wants to get better. Do you go from being a shot away to not only blowing it up dramatically with guys like, you know, Ben Simmons is not the most trustworthy guy. Not only do you blow that up, but also you guys were talking about the 3 first round picks. Good God, after Riley, are you leaving them in a bad spot if Durant tears an Achilles? If he gets hurt again and all of a sudden you're going to be bad for a lot of years, you know, going all in, to blow up your entire team when you were a shot away from advancing to the finals a second ago.
So I got a couple of updates here. Stephen A. Smith apparently went on ESPN and said Kevin Durant has had enough. He wants out. He wants to be in Phoenix. That's according to Stephen A. Smith. I also have an update from the chief culture chatter officer, Ryan Cortez.
who wanted to be here, but he, like you, Dan, is stricken with that most vile of viruses, COVID-19. So thoughts and prayers to Ryan Cortez as he continues to recover. But I asked him when he told me, I said, Cortez, now, what if I told you KD's coming to Miami, but in order for that to happen, you have to have full-blown, full symptomatic COVID from now until opening night. It won't be lethal. It won't be lethal, and there are no long-lasting effects. You'll be fit as a whistle, you know, healthy, full belly health on opening night. But between now and then, you're positive every day. You can't go out, and you're going to feel every one of the symptoms.
That's four months from now. That's 4 months of your life that you are just sick as a dog.
I know. And he says, hell yes, dude. That was his answer.
The people who are here watching, wanting to know what it is that the Heat should do, the fact that you would take it to a hypothetical situation that involves Parakeet Cortez being sick with COVID for 4 months does not give them the information they crave from the experts that are presently speaking at microphones on behalf of Metal Arc Media.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
But it's also a lot more fun than like, where can he land on? Well, come on, guys. Nobody knows.
Oh, really? Really?
Nobody knew three hours ago that he wanted to get traded.
But now you guys, wait a minute. Don't, you know what? Hold on a second with that. If I was talking 4 days ago with Heat people who knew, they knew it. This stuff doesn't happen in a day. I mean, you know this better than anybody. Does anyone know? With their agents and everything else like this. If I'm having a conversation 4 days ago about Durant because they're expecting him to become available, it's not because they don't know anything.
I'm saying to you, every single person talking into a microphone today, y'all all just found this thing out an hour and a half ago. I'm not talking about teams. I'm not talking about agents. I'm talking about the people who are paid to know now. Right now, we're all on air. We all know, you found out an hour and a half ago. So there is a measure of also, what do we really know, right?
Yeah.
What do we really know? I can tell you, like, the circumstances, like me and Tom just did, we went through, like, what assets his team has and what options the Nets have and all that. But at the end of the day, nobody knows because – nobody knows other than Durant and his people and whoever's in the league.
Stephen A. Smith is saying he's had enough and he wants to go to Phoenix. And you say nobody knows, but he's plenty connected. He's not.
But he didn't know that yesterday.
But
he didn't know that 3 hours ago.
That if Phoenix gives them the poo-poo platter and says, okay, well, Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, and that's it. That's all you're getting. We're not putting in anybody else. And that's it. That's our offer. And KD wants to come here. So you're going to have to comply with that. Brooklyn has to call their bluff and go and send them somewhere else. Miami, we know this about Pat Riley. He does not value draft picks. He doesn't. He said it on the record that he doesn't believe in the draft nearly as much as the other GMs. You know why? Because he can turn an undrafted player into Max Strus and Tyler Johnson and rehab James Johnson and Deion Waiters, Hassan Whiteside, and Gabe Vincent. All these guys are basically lottery caliber players that they got out of nowhere. So if you're Pat Riley and saying, I could get Kevin Durant or I could get basically keep my first round picks, those picks to Pat Riley are currency to get Kevin Durant. And my question is, if you're the Miami Heat and you've built up this culture and you've built up Bam Adebayo into an all-NBA, all-star player, and the offer comes in and says, hey, you can get Ben Simmons and Kevin Durant, but Tyler Hero and your Bam Adebayo, they got to go into the deal. Does Pat Riley say yes? Does Pat Riley say yes to that deal? I think he does. Because you know what? If you look at the championship teams over the last century, they all have an MVP in their prime, an MVP caliber player in their prime. And the Miami Heat don't have that right now.
What if it's not Ben Simmons? What if the other thing you have to take is Kyrie Irving?
Mike Ryan, your thoughts?
Well, I think for Bam to be involved in the trade, it would have to be Ben Simmons. Otherwise, I've been watching you guys. You have to get other teams involved. But I was about to say, the leverage that could really separate you from competition is, fine, we'll take the Kyrie problem off your hands. And I'm wondering when that is. And then I know what Stephen A. is saying, and I happen to think that he has a closer relationship with Durant than public perception. may lead you to believe. The reports from Jake Fisher from Bleacher Report are the Nets are asking for Devin Booker. Yeah, like that's really going to happen. They're going to make exorbitant demands right now. You were asking if Pat Riley would do it for Bam Adebayo, if he had a part with Bam Adebayo. I think Pat is so cutthroat, he'd do it if he had to include Jimmy Butler. This is
Pat would do it if he had to include Nick Arison and Mickey Arison and he
Christine Riley.
Let me explain something to you guys. There's not a scenario that you guys could present to me, including Kevin Durant being in jail for murder for 400 years, that doesn't involve Pat Riley getting Kevin Durant or wanting to get Kevin Durant. I mean, look, I like Bam. I like Tyler Hero. They found them, and they weren't lottery picks, and they built them into that. The whole point of getting them is to have the currency and the value of that. There is no time in the history of Pat Riley that he would not want Kevin Durant, no matter what it cost.
Tom, how much did Tyler really hurt his stock by being hurt in the postseason? Because you look at his career, you look at his numbers just this season, a season in which he won the NBA Sixth Man, and you look at the season he just had. He outshined a lot of what were perceived to be great prospects and really respected players within the NBA just this season alone. On the surface, if I just tell you the numbers, this is one of the more hot commodities in terms of trade assets that one could ask for. But nationally, it's not looked at that way.
Well, if he's the jewel of a trade package, I think it's still better than Mikal Bridges. I think it's still better than a couple other trade offers that are on the table. So like Tyler Hero, the problem with him is he's a one-way player that the Miami Heat knew was a one-way player, and they kept him coming from into the starting lineup. And that's the guy that you're going to build your franchise around in the year two in this next phase. I can't imagine that's going to be enough. I think Bam Adebayo has to be in the deal if the Brooklyn Nets are trading Kevin Durant. It's not going to be just Tyler Hero. If you look at Mikal Bridges, he didn't have a good postseason either. So that situation is looking like, ooh, if that's going to be the crown jewel of a trade package with Phoenix, that's not going to work either. DeAndre Ayton, same deal. He didn't have a great postseason. So if you're the Nets, you got to be like, man, are we really going to go out and trade Kevin Durant for Tyler Hero? That's it? Like, that's
it?
I love it. That's all that we're going to get. So
no, that's not you guys, this is not what's going to happen to Brooklyn. As disastrous as a scenario as it is, and it is a disaster scenario. A disaster scenario, I believe, incidentally, every one of the people watching on this, and us included, would have signed up for 3 years ago if we had been the Brooklyn Nets. Would have signed up, even though this, you guys certainly predicted that something messy would happen. All of us would want these players. Look, we're back here to talking about these players because years older, you still want these players. Mike, I want to know from you, if he blows it up to surround 32 and 33-year-old guys, if he blows up a team that was a shot away, if they trade future first-round picks and everything else to make sure that they can make a better offer than Phoenix, and they're giving up the defense that made them elite last year, because you're giving that up when the moment that you give up Bam, you sign up for all of that, yes?
100%. 100%. Look at all the preseason graphics that were made just off of name recognition alone. I think if you swap out Steve Nash, and Amin, I know you're a Steve Nash guy, but I think if you swap out Steve Nash and the Brooklyn Nets for the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra, that stability is what to me was clearly lacking from the Brooklyn Nets experiment. That and health, no doubt. Health was a bigger variable than stability. But I like my chances with the stability.
But Mike, you're ignoring something, is that they didn't want that. They both left structure and stability.
Yeah, and how did it work out? We're talking about it as if it's one of the biggest failures ever. Kevin Durant just went directly to the owner of his team and caught a fat L. The Warriors won the title. He just went to his owner and asked out. That's him waving the white flag saying, this plan did not work out.
By the way, I want to just point out something in the conversation that Tom and I had on the phone before we went live. Tom brought up the Warriors to me, and I said, man, I'm going to tell you right now, Steve Kerr has never been happier than he's been the last 3 years. I don't think him or his staff or even, you know, some of the other guys on the team, some of the players, want to deal with that anymore. It's nice. They don't deal with the regular diva politics that the rest of the NBA does. And Tom looked at me. Well, he's on the phone, so he didn't look at me, but he just paused and he said, yeah, what about Joe Lacob, though? And I said, that's the problem. That's the problem.
Yes. Joe Lacob would 100% overrule that and say, Steve Kerr, I don't care about your happiness. If Kevin Durant goes to Phoenix, we're screwed. And the actual billionaire talk, what matters in the billionaire circles is just power. And what bigger power move would be to win a KD, win a title with KD, win a title without KD, and then get KD after that? There's no bigger power move. That's it.
I have a question.
That's the pinnacle. So yes, I think Joe Lacob would do that.
Tom and Amin, I have a question. We're looking at Phoenix and Miami because those are the teams that are named. It's quite possible that another team enters the fray, maybe not as a destination for Kevin Durant, but as a facilitator. Is there a deal before the deal that can be made that can make Miami's assets or Phoenix assets more attractive for Brooklyn because they're looking for Kings Hall?
So I would say that Indiana is a place where that could happen because of Brogdon and Turner. Two guys who are good vets, solid pros who could help teams win, but probably don't want to be in Indiana anymore. So I think Indiana is a place. I know there's an interest that they've had in Ayton. They almost traded for him at the trade deadline until Sacramento came with the the Halliburton offer. So Indiana could be that way station for either one of those teams. Now, I don't know if Bam is someone that interests them, because of his salary, obviously, and because of his age. He's a little older than Ayton, is what I mean by that. But I think Indiana absolutely is one. I think Detroit is another one. Tom, what do you think? What other teams can you think of?
Well, Memphis has assets galore. They have ready-made players that they can put into a deal. Desmond Bane, Mo Dekeel, who's been watching this show, just texted me and said, actually, if you take Jaren Jackson out of the deal, Memphis could actually get Kevin Durant or create a package around Desmond Bane and Steven Adams and all of their picks and get them and get KD without putting Jaren Jackson in a deal.
New Orleans is another one where they have an abundance of picks. In addition to some very interesting
from the Drew Holiday
players.
Trade, right?
Does the money work in Memphis? The money's complicated.
I heard earlier, go with Ja Morant and Steven Adams and chase a title. Steven Adams absolutely has to be a part of that deal because if you look at Memphis's roster right now, all their desirable assets, they don't make up the money. So they'd have to be creative in making up the money. If you're just looking at it in a vacuum, I think the most attractive trade partners for Brooklyn are Memphis and honestly Minnesota. Minnesota is a team that has a lot of assets that would be attractive and could actually make up this haul. And Golden State was a wise choice too.
Does it matter that half the teams in the league? Woj is saying half the teams in the league are calling Brooklyn. Can you guys parse for me with 4 years on the contract and with us not having seen something quite like this with a player of this magnitude asking for a trade? You guys think what's going to end up happening here with Kevin Durant? How much control is he going to have with the two-team limit that he's making versus a dozen teams are going to call and they might have better offers?
So I think the interesting thing is Joe Tsai could send Kevin Durant anywhere. But does he
You said
want
that at the beginning. It's just we haven't seen that, though.
Well,
Hold on. I'm sorry to interrupt. I've got more breaking news here. This is courtesy of Kyle Goon, who covers the Los Angeles Lakers for the Southern California News Group. He says, Brian Windhorst on TV, taking a deep, deep breath, says on ESPN that league executives have, quote, floated that the Lakers could try to trade for KD and Kyrie as a package deal if the two are still interested in playing together. Are you guys ready to make this shit real messy? Huh? Real messy? Like a soccer player. Oh, boy. What would you think? Would it be AD and what? What would be that package?
Horton Tucker? No, they probably wouldn't let go of him.
Yeah. AD, fine. Go ahead. But Malik Monk, Malik Monk with Anthony Davis. I don't know.
Would you trade LeBron?
We spent years, okay, watching Kevin Durant and LeBron wrestle for the league. The idea that we now, they were wrestling. Who's going to be the best player? Is Kevin Durant always going to finish second place? I love the idea of the Lakers now with LeBron's management style in place. After Anthony Davis, we're going to have a hell of a hard time, any of us, coming up with what that trade package looks like of things that anybody would want.
Shout out to Jacoby Walker in the chat. LeBron and AD and Chris Mim. That's the package.
All right. So Kyrie and Kevin Durant are $81 million of salary. Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis are 85. That deal works as it's constructed. And Brooklyn says, we get Anthony Davis, a 29-year-old in his prime, two-way MVP candidate. Yes, we'll have Russell Westbrook. We'll waive him. It's 1 year of buyout capital. We get AD. There's no better option. All the names we just mentioned, they're not AD.
Hold on. Would you? What if that's the way station? What if that's the third option, right? If you're Miami, you say, look, I send you Bam. You send AD to Brooklyn. Brooklyn sends us KD. Everybody's happy.
I want to ask you guys this question seriously.
Idris, I'm sorry.
As Brooklyn deals with a scenario we haven't seen a whole lot of, can you guys please tell me if Kyrie and Ben Simmons stapled to Durant is a sweetener or a liability? Like, what are we like? I'm dead serious. If they're going to rebuild the whole thing, and they're going to just start over and say, "My God, get all of these people the hell out of here. This has been a nightmare." Kyrie Irving is what in these deals if you've got to start getting creative on him?
I don't take him. We just saw what happened in Brooklyn. Like, outside of Miami, what organization can handle that?
Tom, we're not the ones to answer this question. This question's right there. Mike Ryan, what do you do?
I was marveling at Kyrie's resume. He has totally nuked the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Nets in very short order. It's amazing. Short. These were good situations that he was in, and I can fix him.
Yeah, Mike wants him. God almighty. The idea, you weren't afraid of the Nets at all. You weren't afraid in the last 3 years of the Nets, and now you want to be the Nets. You want to be the Nets.
I want to be the Nets with Spo, because I trust Spo. I want to be the Nets with culture, because I think that they were missing culture. I want to be the Nets with Udonis Haslem yelling at the Nets. That's who I want to be. It would be funny, though, if Ben Simmons comes here to Miami and they put his locker right next to Jimmy's.
I've got some small breaking news for you, Mike. The Heat don't want the culture set anymore. Shared vision is what they prefer. They don't like culture.
Wait, that doesn't fit on a T-shirt, though. Shared vision?
#shared vision.
Vision?
Do you guys love how, in retrospect, all of these guys, having gotten exactly what they want, look back in 3 years and really long for what they had? Kyrie with LeBron, Kevin Durant is longing for something. Kevin Durant is about to give back whatever freedom he had. I mean, the Matt Sullivan book was pretty damning about, for those who don't know anything about what's happening, like, in that organization. It seemed, I mean, you object to it, but the reporting in that book would suggest that Kyrie and Kevin Durant were running that team. Kyrie, as recently as a couple of months ago, was saying, I'm going to check in with ownership and we're going to decide what it is that we
check in. He said, me, Sean, and Joe, we're going to figure it out. And
we're
going to
manage this franchise together. We're going to manage it together. And he also said he didn't want a coach, that he was a coach.
Isn't it weird? Where are we as a country? Isn't it so weird that people are willing to follow the purest form of demagoguery, right? Like, just someone who literally is the living incarnation of the Joker, Michael Caine's line, some men just want to watch the world burn. Like, we're seeing this time and time again, legions of these followers, and they're supporting everything someone says. And I look at Kyrie and I say, why would anyone ever give him power of any sort?
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I want to talk about this. I want to talk about the trades that Brooklyn has done over the years. The greatest asset in the NBA right now is that Houston swapped 2023 picks with Brooklyn. Because here's what happens, right? 2012, the Brooklyn Nets are like, hey, we want to get Gerald Wallace. What is it going to take? First round pick. What does it turn into? Damian Lillard.
Damian Lillard.
Hey, we want KG. We want Paul Pierce. Take all of our picks. What do those picks turn into? Jaylen Brown,
Tatum and Brown
and Jason Tatum.
Yep.
And now we have a situation where the Houston Rockets own all of their picks going forward. They have a pick swap next year, their first round of the following year, and then pick swap after that, and then the first rounder after that, and another pick swap after that. So if you're the Brooklyn Nets in this scenario, when you get an offer, you have to keep that in mind, right, Amin? Like, you have to keep in mind, hey, the Houston Rockets can swap our pick next year. God forbid we bottom out and it turns into Victor Wembanyama.
We got some breaking news here. This is courtesy of ESPN. Jaren Jackson Jr., the aforementioned Jaren Jackson Jr., maybe they can center a deal around him. Yeah, underwent surgery to repair a stress fracture in his right foot on Wednesday. Expected to be sidelined for 4 to 6 months. Sources tell ESPN.
Oh.
I like the next sentence there in that report. I like the next sentence. Jackson is expected to make a full recovery. You don't know that. You don't know that. You don't know. What is that? I mean, what is
it's exactly what it looks like. It's exactly what it looks like.
Okay, but it was unnecessary for you to pantomime ejaculate there. There was no reason for that.
Jacqueline.
Amin, how long do you think the Miami Heat and Phoenix Suns have known that this scenario was in play for them? We know that when it got reported by Shams, we know now that Kevin Durant went directly to the owner. How long ago was this? How much lead time has Pat had? Has he been able to work the phone for a couple of days trying to build assets? Because we keep looking at this so singularly focused. What do the Heat have? What do the Suns have? Let's talk about what partners and willing partners might be able to pair and supplement, because while the Heat may not have the assets right now, they could collect those assets by trading Bam somewhere else, by trading Tyler Hero somewhere else.
Yep. According to the sources close to Dan Le Batard, this conversation has been going on, at least the expectation of Durant's availability have been going on.
But Mike, I texted you, right? When was it? Saturday, and I told you they were in on Durant.
Yeah, the Kyrie thing kind of made people think that was back on ice for a little bit, and then we were talking Jalen Brunson for a little. But there is a deal for Miami to make outside of the mega Kevin Durant deal to help build their assets, the deal before the deal, essentially. Yeah, they can trade Bam one for one for Kevin Durant. They can get creative, put Ben Simmons in the deal, or they can just trade Bam somewhere else, recoup the assets, and make it a three-teamer, right?
They absolutely can. That's a lot of, as soon as you introduce another team, that makes things a whole lot more complicated, because then there's going to be drawbacks and there's going to be hang-ups in the deal. They want to make this a one-to-one deal. They want to make this with Brooklyn, because at the end of the day, they probably said the same thing with Jimmy Butler in Philadelphia. Ah, I don't know. It's going to take more than Richardson. Nah, I don't know. It's going to take more than that.
Tom, I'm going to disagree. I think there is a third team because we know their best trade piece that has girthy enough salary to make this happen is Idris. And Idris can't go to Brooklyn unless Ben Simmons is on the way back. Okay, I take that back. Maybe you're right.
they cannot get guys. I want somebody to say it out loud. Mm-hmm. Somebody here is of the belief that the Miami Heat can get Kevin Durant, and all they'd have to give up is Tyler Hero, that is the maximum the package is going to deliver. Like, I don't believe that the Miami Heat can get in this game unless they're willing to give up the two young pieces. I don't believe one of them does it.
I'm with you. I think Idris has to be part of that, because the only other option beyond Hero, if it's Hero and Idris or Hero and fill in the blank, the only other blank that can be filled is Mr. Culture, Mr. Shared Vision himself, Jimmy Butler. which I'm sure from one standpoint, you say, well, that's better because I've given up the older guy who's got a really crazy contract down the line. But I'm not sure that Brooklyn would be, or whatever facilitating third party, would want that. They look at it and say, well, I don't know, you know.
If Durant is dictating terms, he's going to want to come here and have Bam be here. So I ask you guys, and there are other things to be talked about other than this one Durant move, because Brunson to the Knicks is official, right? That's done? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we talked about that on the show today. The idea that we're, you know, Mike and I were talking about 25 mil. Is it too much? Is it not? Whatever. And I said, the problem isn't Jalen Brunson worth 25 mil. The problem is the Knicks consummated more moves in the last 24 hours, and it's clear they're going north of 25. And sure enough, they hit 110, which comes out to, what is that, $27 million a year, which is way past, A, what Dallas's original prognostication was, but B, Dallas didn't even get a chance, apparently. According to the reporting, I think Mark Stein was the one that had it out there. Dallas didn't even get a chance to say, what about? It's done. It's like, you know, he's gone. He's leaving. And that's got to be a kick in the balls for them.
How quickly did Mark Cuban file tampering charges against the Knicks? How quickly? Like oh, we're going to get a meeting with Jalen Brunson. No, you're not going to get a meeting with Jalen Brunson. It's already been consummated. I mean, that is nothing different than what the Miami Heat did last year.
Well, I think the difference is Jalen Brunson.
Mark Cuban in the league is going to say, go to hell, Mark. Like, come on. Well, after all the history we've had over the years.
Beyond that, I think it's because Jalen Brunson can say, well, I didn't meet with anybody. I just knew I didn't want to come back to Dallas. Yeah, he can plausibly say that. Now, if he files the charges, then the league opens an investigation. Then we're going to have the subpoena of the phones and go through all the records and all that stuff. But I think ultimately, I hope the Knicks weren't that sloppy. They'd know, look, we're not going to trace anything. You're just going to find that the guy really didn't talk to anybody. And then, you know, shortly thereafter, agreed to terms with us.
It's so messy. Leon Rose's son is Jalen Brunson's agent.
Oh, well.
Jalen Brunson's dad is already on the Knicks payroll. Like, it is so, like, how the tampering charges would get so messy there of all the phones that would be confiscated.
This doesn't exactly put the Knicks in the game, does it?
No. It's like, you look at what they have is Julius Randle on a big deal and Jalen Brunson on a big deal. That's a great 500 team. That's a solid 500 team.
They've got a parade float going right now, and it has nothing to do with Jalen Brunson, and it's all about what's happening a couple miles east across the river. That's the group chat right now. It is World War III in there. They're going insane. We have one message in here from Cousin Proofy who says, Royce O'Neal is going to be the face of the Nets franchise moving forward. Like it's completely fallen apart. People,
Joe Harris.
Oh man,
yeah.
Steph Curry.
Yeah. Hey, here's
Nick
the list.
Claxton.
Here's a list of teams with more playoff wins over the last 3 years with Kevin Durant on the roster. Here it is. Ready? Milwaukee, Boston, Miami, Phoenix, Lakers, Clippers, Golden State, Dallas, Denver, Philadelphia, Atlanta, and Toronto all have more playoff wins than the Brooklyn Nets with Kevin Durant on the team. They have seven. They have seven wins to show for it. Seven playoff wins. Two sweeps.
They played 44 games together, whatever it was. Kyrie and Durant in 3 years. That's the number. That's lunacy. What is that? I cannot remember. I can't remember having something fall apart like that. I don't even know what I'd point to as precedent on something that had those kinds of expectations. I know, I mean, I've seen the cover of the magazines with, you know, Glenn Rice and Karl Malone and Gary Payton, but to have it fall apart this way, like, it's just nuts.
This is going to be fun. Steve Nash, Dwight Howard. How about for something that fell apart quicker, the Big Ten ACC Pac-12 Alliance?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. That's like Pac-12 compared to what happened today with KD. Yes.
How fired up is a Pac-12 commissioner right now? The biggest upset in all of this is that the NFL didn't announce the Deshaun Watson punishment in the middle of this. The rare Friday news dump on a Thursday.
Mike's in the group chat talking about do it now. Do it now. Do it now.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.